Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to consider with you today the words of our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 22, especially these words starting in the 18th verse after they had come to Jesus to challenge him. Jesus was aware of their malice and he said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is God's word. Please be seated. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give unto God that which is God's. And at first glance, you would think that this passage is primarily about money, about giving Caesar his taxes, and about giving God his offerings. And it is about that at the surface level. But if you go just a little bit below the surface, you're going to discover a whole new world of meaning for this passage. A little bit like snorkeling, you break the surface of the water, you know, and all of a sudden there's this whole world beneath the surface that you didn't know was there before. Well, I want to take you below the surface today and discover something maybe you haven't seen before in these words of our Lord. So the disciples of the Pharisees, and you notice it wasn't the Pharisees themselves that came to Jesus this time, it was their disciples that they sent. I suspect that by now the disciples were a little bit tired of being humiliated by Jesus in public, and so this time they sent their disciples, and the disciples of the Pharisees had come to Jesus with a trap. And Luke notes that Herod's men were a part of this trap. And they simply asked Jesus, "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And it's the perfect trap, you see, because if he says yes, then his followers, who absolutely despise the Roman occupation, are going to turn against him. But if he says, "No, you shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar," then Herod's men are there to arrest him on the spot for treason. Well, Jesus recognizes the trap, of course, and he calls them hypocrites. And that's really important for what's going to happen next. A hypocrite is a person whose life does not line up with what they say they believe. And Jesus is about to show these people their hypocrisy. He asks them for a coin. "Whose inscription and whose image is on this coin?" he asks them. "Caesar's," they say. And what Matthew records next in the Greek is vitally important for understanding what Jesus is really getting at here. The tense of the verb that he uses, which in English says "render unto Caesar," the tense of that verb really means start rendering, start giving to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and start giving to God the things that are God's. And the difference is huge, because Jesus is insinuating here, and everyone who understands Greek would have understood this, Jesus is insinuating that up to this point, they had not been giving to Caesar that which was Caesar's, and they had not given to God that which was God's. And then that raises the question, why would Jesus insinuate that? Start giving to Caesar? Start giving to God? But they had been paying their taxes all along. You know, it's not as though paying taxes to Rome was optional, not unless you like to be crucified. And they had been giving their offerings at the temple all along. Remember how the Pharisees loved to wave around their big old offerings in front of everyone, tooting their own horn? "Look how big an offering I'm giving," before they put it into the offering plate. Oh, they were giving their offerings. They were paying their taxes. So when Jesus says, "Start giving," he's speaking about something other than money. And Jesus is saying something like this. He's saying, there is still something that you owe to Caesar that you have not been rendering to him. And there is something that you still owe to God that you have not yet been rendering unto him. And as a child of God, if you really are a child of God, it's time to start giving to Caesar and to God. So what's Jesus talking about here? I believe the answer lies in something that his apostle wrote in Romans chapter 13. Listen to these words of Paul. Paul said, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for they are ministers of God. Pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And now we start to see the hypocrisy of these Pharisees and their disciples. Oh, sure, they had been paying their taxes to Caesar, but had they ever given to Caesar the respect that he was due as an authority established by God? No, they had not. They paid Caesar their taxes as an outward obligation, but inwardly they despised Caesar. They never paid to Caesar the respect and the honor that was due to him as God's governing minister in that place and time. Maybe you recall something else Paul once said about what we owe to those who are in authority over us. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions." And he wrote that under the rule of the Roman government. It is not enough to pay your taxes, as though that is all that God expects of his children. When was the last time you prayed for Caesar? When is the last time you gave thanks to God for the civil authorities and for the way they order life among us so that civilization is possible for us? It's time you start giving to Caesar that which is Caesar's, not just your taxes, but your respect and your honor and your prayers and your thanksgivings. That is the way of the child of God. But as bad as that kind of hypocrisy was, just consider what's coming next. Because Jesus says, start rendering unto God the things that are God's. Oh, sure, they had been giving their offerings at the temple, but were they giving to God the honor and the reverence that were due to him? Again, the answer is no. And the acid test of that was Jesus Christ himself, the incarnate Word of God. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." And yet this they refused to do. Their outward show of giving was masking an inward refusal to honor God by receiving his Christ, first of all as their Savior, and then also as their Lord. Instead of giving offerings as free expressions of thanksgiving to God for their salvation in Christ, instead of that, these guys' offerings were nothing more than self-righteous attempts to score points with God. I'll drop some money in the offering plate, and God up in heaven puts a few more little tally marks on my score sheet, and when I come to the gates of heaven one day, he'll have no choice but to let me in because of all that I did for him. They refused to pay God the honor that was due to him by receiving his Christ. For the Word of God clearly says that all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God, utterly worthless when it comes to saving us. And no one can achieve the holiness that God demands of us for self-salvation. And no amount of offerings or anything else that we do for God can ever justify what we've done, the sins that we've committed, so that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. To ignore God's plain word about this and to keep up this charade of trying to save yourself by your good deeds is the ultimate contempt of God. It's the ultimate slap in his face, the ultimate rejection of his gift. For the work of God, Jesus says, the work of God is not that you save yourself, but that you believe in him whom he sent. For it is by grace that we are saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, and it's not of works, so that none of us can boast. It is time, if you have not yet done so, to start giving to God the things that God really wants. It is time to give him the honor of taking him at his word and to stop these pathetic attempts to try to please him with our lives. For there is no one who is righteous, not even one. It is time that we give him a broken and a contrite heart, for such a heart he will never despise. It is time that we give to him our sins in exchange for his righteousness. For God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is time that we give him the trust that he asks of us, that we humbly accept his forgiveness and his sacrifice. For in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. And once we have given him the honor of receiving his Christ as our Savior, it is time that we also honor him as our Lord. It is time that we give to him of our resources of time and talents and treasures for his glory. It's time that we give him the glory that is due to him as we do those good works that he has appointed for us to do. It's time that we honor him as Lord by giving up that old way of life that we used to live, to give up the gossiping and the hating and the stealing and the lusting and the swearing and the coveting, to give all of that up, to give yourself to him, that your life, as Paul says, might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Start giving to God the things that are God's. It's not just money. But like those wonderful Macedonian Christians, give yourself first to the Lord, even as Christ first gave himself for you. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.